It's December 1st, 2010. I'm Margaret Sasuski, and I'm with my father, Stephen Sasuski, in his home in Fairbanks, Alaska, the home I grew up in. I'm interviewing him on his photography to be paired with his photographs that were donated to the Alaska Polar Regions Collection at the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. So tell me a little about your personal history, you know, where you grew up, how'd you come to Alaska, basically your career beyond your photography, and we'll discuss your photography a little later.
I was born and raised in the Seattle area, Western Washington. I have memories of the University District and the Pike's Place Market. A lot of the things I've taken to photographs were based on those useful memories. I grew up after my mother got divorced and remarried in Auburn, Washington, is where I went to junior high school and high school. And then I would take the bus into Seattle from there. I went to college at Wenatchee Valley College and at Western Washington State University. It was a college then. And when I graduated, I had applied to graduate school and was accepted at Simon Fraser. And also I had applied as a VISTA volunteer because I wanted to go back east and live in a big city and listen to blues music. So I ended up in Alaska, and I've been here ever since. In Alaska, I started as a VISTA volunteer and a VISTA planner in Anchorage after living a year in Shaktuluk, working with creating target area committees to really have a say over what was happening with community action, and so that people who were poor would have an input in that. I worked with Upward Bound as a instructor, and I ended up loving it. I thought I'd be afraid working with younger people, but as I got into it, I realized I really loved it, and that ended up being a counselor for Indian education at West Anchorage High School, and I was that for about 12 years, I think. I'm not sure. Early 70s to about 84. And from there, I went to Alaska Pacific University and got a master's in liberal arts, and that ended up also supporting computers when they were being involved, starting to teach computers. And I unexpectedly and without intent read the classifieds about a job in Fairbanks being a computer professor. And it seemed to fit me, and so I applied and was accepted, and it seemed like a miracle, because when I went to VISTA as opposed to going to graduate school, I thought I'd given up an academic career, but this reopened the academic career, and it was felt like a miracle to me. All through this time, I was interested in photography and really taking pictures. I mean, I remember when I was in grade school trying to trade a chemistry set in for a camera at a secondhand store in Auburn. I ended up buying that camera on eBay. It's a Brownie Hawkeye 620 later. And so visual things and photography have always been somehow fundamental to how I understood the world.
Do you remember the instance that you became interested in photography and why?
No, because I think it was just how I am. And it wasn't like, oh, I'm suddenly interested in photography. It was basic. I remember looking through family albums at my grandparents' house, and also they had a whole collection of National Geographics that were wrapped up for many, many years, and they kept them in a spare bedroom, and when I was there, I'd always go through and look at them. But I don't think I think I was looking at those things because I was interested in photography. It didn't make me interested in photography. So visual sense it's something fundamental to me. Even in philosophy or in ideas, it's when things fit together that they're exciting, whatever that fit together is. And I noticed some of the pictures you showed, and I remember when I started taking street photography at the Palmer State Fair. It came right away. It wasn't like I had to work up to it or anything else. Once I started taking pictures, the pictures were there for me. So it wasn't like a switch experience. It was more like how I am experienced.
Do you receive any photographic education?
No. I mean, I've gone to workshops every once in a while, but I'm mostly self-taught. When I was in Alaska at Shack Tulik, I subscribed to Modern Photography, and the mail plane would come in and you would listen to Up in Nome if the plane was coming or not. And I remember how excited I was when I would get a photography magazine, because I would look at it and try to understand it, and I would go to the newsstands when new photography magazines would come out and get them. So I was, and I still am, avidly interested in learning about photography and studying it, but it wasn't in the context of a class.
Yeah. Did you have any specific photographers that felt like influenced you or inspired you?
There's photographers where I felt an affinity to. I mean, At Jay, he took pictures of Paris, Andre Kurtz, Joseph Sudek. More currently, there's a lot of photographers that I like. Stephen Shore, later, seeing his color photos was an inspiration. And some of these I don't pronounce right, like Andre Cartier-Bresson, obviously The Decisive Moment. There was a photographer named Wynne Bullock in his nature photography, The Form and Shape, and Clarence Laughlin, I believe, from New Orleans, his pictures of cemeteries in New Orleans. There's a lot of photography that impacted me and that I really enjoyed and felt an affinity with. But it was more like partnership or feeling that I wasn't just nowhere. It was just like maybe finding, like when you read a good novel, or a good author that you feel in sync with, it validates you when you see other photographers doing things.
So basically you felt like you weren't trying to copy anyone, it just came naturally, like you
mm-hmm.
weren't, you were just doing what you were doing and it just happened to turn out.
And then, but also seeing that other people were doing powerful, eccentric things that weren't traditional or expected was an inspiration to me. And a sense just of not being alone in your own path. But when you take photography, you have to forget about that stuff and just look. And when you feel that inkling to press the shutter and not think about it. Because years ago, there was somebody that was going to be an quote-unquote like agent, and she was knowledgeable and very helpful to me, and she got my photographs approved to show in the Alaska Geographic. The publisher ended up turning them down because they were too negative. But I also found that whole idea made me competitive and made me compare with other photographers and wonder how come they get recognition and I don't, and it messed me up. And so what I learned to do is to stay away from that and just try to clear your mind of all that junk, and just when you get the inkling to press the shutter, press the shutter.
And also, I guess it relates, you've always told me that people would ask you, well, why don't you take quote-unquote pretty photographs?
Yeah.
And did you want to explain more on that, and your feelings about that?
Well, when you look, the classic photo would be like Wonder Lake. I mean, and it is beautiful and it is amazing, and I'm sure if you're there it's amazing. But you look at it and you say, oh, that's a beautiful photo, and then you look again and you look in the calendar. But do you look at it a second or a third time? Does it puzzle you? Does it make you feel? Does it perplex you? Does it challenge you? Not to me. And I see a lot of photos that are pretty, but not memorable. And I wonder if they're doing it. Well, no, you feel the beauty of it when you're there. But the photo itself doesn't transcend the view of what they're seeing. It's not something that resonates somehow. And they become boring. Oh, that's a pretty picture. Oh.
Do you classify yourself in any type of photography, such as like nature or street photography?
No. I mean, I have different strands of photography in a sense, some partly documentary photography, like trying to create documents that over time will continue to expand and grow, and memories will accrue to them, so that in 20 or 30 years it will provoke people's memories. And so the mundane and the everyday things, and that's somewhat documentary. One thing I was thinking before here, that to say that I'm not an artist, I'm a photographer, and I think there's a difference.
Is it different?
Artists are really in a whole idea of a concept of imposing their personality on things, imposing a concept on things, and trying to be unique and creative. And it really is somehow about expressing your ego in some explicit way. Photography has a long history of real moments in time, and yes, my personality's involved in it, but it's also a real moment in time, and that the thing that is in the photograph also has power separate from my concept of it. And I don't want to sever that moment in time with a concept or a preconceived notion or making a photograph that demonstrates a concept that I have. But I do have concepts, but they should be reflected in the picture of the real moment in time, not in an explicit demonstration of the concept. And I think I want to be anchored in the history of photography, and some people pick and choose from that to make it art or not. But that's, I think, a divergence from what photography is.
So do you think you have any themes in your photography?
Any?
Whether they're kind of afterthoughts or preconceived?
Afterthoughts, in other words, if I look at my photography, I see it. I see themes. And sometimes I'll get an idea, and like nature growing in the city, or stuffed animals in glass cages, Buddhas in weird places. And so whenever I see those, I'll take pictures of those. But those are more for entertainment's sake or a joke or aren't fundamental. It's just you start seeing things and you want to keep doing them to sort of show things. But they're themes of people and their relationships, themes of form and shape in nature, themes of structures and artifacts and remnants of human activity that illustrate and show personality, and weird stuff around the house that for some reason the way the light shows I just take pictures of would be themes that I can see in my photography. And if I look at the pictures of the people photography, you can see things about youth and loneliness and sort of isolation and people somewhat disconnected and things like that. But that's not a theme I'm looking for. That's a reflection of how I am and view the world.
Okay. Majority of your photographs are black and white with some color mixed in. When are the reasons why you use color versus black and white?
When the color is an explicit part of the photograph. In other words, what excited me when I took that picture was the color. Then I'll show the color. And I take RAW and JPEG now, and so I can see color in black and white. And when I scan through the pictures and make selections, those that resonate with me much more strongly are the black and white. Again, it's not a concept, it's where do I look?
Yeah.
And I tend to look to the black and white more than the color, but some things are color. I was looking at the pictures in India and they're all in color, but the color in India is just amazing. And I was actually doing some pictures of the Tanana Valley Fair from 2010, and some of the color there was entrancing me. So it's not a, it's a pre-rational choice about when I look, what do I look at, and what sets off that picture resonator.
Why do you think that black and white resonates with you better than color?
Because it does. I like form and shape and pattern and relationship, structure. And I think that the black and white shows those more, and that the color can be a distraction or hides those things. Or if you're doing things of people and you're looking at relationships between people and their facial expressions and that maybe their postures and the way they're looking, that the color hides those things. We see the color and we don't look at it. And when we see the black and white, we have a bigger challenge to look at it. But the real reason is I like it better.
So a few years ago, you were approached by people in Tacoma about the photos you took there in the 70s,
mm-hmm.
and then you became part of the Tacoma Then and Again project. Can you tell me more about the project and how it made you feel to participate in it?
Well, before that, I had all these negatives that I knew had value. I knew that they had power. And so I spent better part of a year scanning them, and it was over a Christmas break I edited them and put them on the web. And I put the Seattle and the Tacoma ones on the web. And the ones, there was an immediate response, and it was to the Tacoma ones. And I remember, I remember when people started emailing me, feeling like crying that somebody actually saw and recognized what I was doing. And that's still the case in Tacoma, is that they were the first ones that saw and it resonated with a specific moment of time in Tacoma history that was quite bleak and quite gritty from their perspective, even though for me it was photographically wonderful. And so it really, it was the first time, except in small ways, that other people validated the photography I was taking.
And then the Tacoma Then and Again project?
Well, just say yes when people ask about those things. And I remember talking with Justin, that my goal is your success in this project. He wrote a proposal.
What was the project about?
It's the University of Washington, Tacoma, and comparing what there is now and then, because a lot of the pictures I had taken were of Tacoma, where the University of Washington Tacoma campus is, and all those buildings were renovated, and when I was taking pictures of them, they were pretty dilapidated. They're more boring now. They were much more picturesque back then. And so that was their motivation. But other people, I got a lot of email. I get email now from Seattle and Anchorage too. They've come to life in those areas where people see, and it resonates, or by resonate, it somehow brings back memories and emotions that of when people were in that time. So I guess my goal is that they to say yes, and my goal to share, whenever people ask about using my photography to share, I say yes, as long as you give attribution and it's not commercial. Because my goal is to be for people to see the photos and respond to them. They're not completely non-commercial, and I keep thinking about if they were explicitly commercial, then I would be changing my motivation for taking pictures, and I would be divorcing myself from that intuition of the shutter click. Something else, though, equally creative to clicking the shutter is looking and selecting the photographs and editing the photographs. Each is a separate creative process that are related to each other.
Going into how you share your photographs, you do it through the web instead of traditional ways of creating books and having shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then also your whole theme of your websites is wandering in a place.
Yeah.
And so did you want to explain a little bit about that?
Well, that was the wandering. Well, first of all, in the beginning, I mean, when I started, it was books and photo shows, and there was gatekeepers. And the web has been a revelation. I remember getting an Apple scanner and scanning it with something called Apple Scan, I think, and it was 2-bit or dithered, and creating a HyperCard stack called Not Pretty to Share My Photos. So I've been very lucky in that as I developed the confidence to share my photos, the web and all that technology has evolved and made it possible for me to do that without gatekeepers. The other part of the question related to sharing, or the wandering. I knew I'd taken a lot of pictures of Fairbanks, and I tried to organize them in different ways, like cabins or signs or buildings or weird things. And then finally, after struggling with it a lot, I thought about neighborhoods, and then I thought about neighborhoods or recreating experience as I experienced it, like walking from one place to another. When they were scanned negatives, then I had to group and organize them because it wasn't possible to like sort by date and time of creation. But I would spend a lot of time after selecting the photos grouping them into meaningful sequences. And the sequence is to replicate the experience so that each photo I choose should stand alone, but the sequence also is a separate document so that people could experience it the same way by walking in the same path. They would see the same sequence of photos, and then so they would experience it as I experience it, at least what I pick and choose. And now I do that pretty consistently. Somebody emailed and said that they were an odd way of showing photographs from the 90s, but I think it's consistent, the string of photos that you can scroll through and then create almost like a slow motion video or movie. And it's really a way that gives people more freedom to expose and look at those photos than all those flash-based galleries that artists put, where you click and then you click and you see another one and you click and see another one, and about the fourth or fifth one you get bored and quit even though you like them. And so when you see them in the big scroll that I have, you can see a lot of photos and stop where you want or not stop where you want. and see the sequence. So to me, it really is consistent with how I want to show my photos, not like galleries and protected and flash-based things and stuff like that. But it sort of bugged me when somebody said, oh, it's an old-fashioned 90s way of showing photos, because it's intentional.
So why did you decide to donate photographs to archives, and what have you donated and to where?
Well, one of the big fears of photographers is what happens if your house burns down. And the whole idea, and you'll see it in so many places, about what's going to happen to my photography. You know that there's some value there. When I went down to take pictures in Tacoma and got a response, I brought a hard disk down with the scanned negatives, with the idea I'll give it to somebody so that it can become part of an archive. And the first place that really took it was the Northwest Room of the Tacoma Public Library. And so I gave that to them, and also the negatives and prints from the Seattle and Tacoma area. After that time, there was a woman from the University of Washington Photo Archive in Seattle that wanted to meet with me and stuff like that. And I think she was aggravated that I'd given them to the Tacoma Public Library, and it was sort of like she lost interest in me at that point. And I probably would have preferred them to go there, but I'm glad that they're there. From that idea, going back, even when I was taking pictures of Anchorage, I wanted them to be in an archive, and I would think about the Anchorage Museum of History or Art Museum, whatever it is, I'd like them donated there. And I remember at the Rasmussen Library, going up to the Arctic and Polar region and looking through photos and wanting my photos to be there. And I ran into somebody, Dr. Osdre. And he works with the library, and said, hey, I'd like to do this. And he referred me to Anne, and they said yes right away. And so there's a real sense of security that the negatives and the prints and the slides and the digital files are there, so that at some point, hopefully, at some time, maybe sort of like an archaeological dig, somebody will eventually have the capability of seeing those photos. Now, when I went through the contact sheets, and this is something you might be interested in, I still have many contact sheets there, because I tend to pull a lot of the family-related ones. So there's boxes or sheets, contact sheets, where there was family-related things that I didn't put there, and I need to look at. I also have a bunch of other unscanned negatives, like a Fairbanks color prints, where you cut up all the color prints to make all your collages and stuff. I have those negatives that I need to sometime look through, think about, and scan, because there's a whole gap of photos there that aren't shared. So I still have a lot more to share and to look at and stuff like that.
So you gave everything that you have, except for the family.
Yes.
Even the stuff that you never intended on publishing in any way.
No, like the slides, at one point I went through and chose in a very intuitive way the slides I wanted, and I sent them out to be scanned. And so I have the slides that I didn't select downstairs. And when you select, it's a very intuitive process. You say, I choose this, I don't choose that, I choose this, I don't choose that, and you don't think about it. You might go back tomorrow and choose a completely different set, but you just can't, because you'll go crazy, so you just have to choose and go. And so all those pictures that I didn't choose at that specific point in time are there in the basement.
Okay, and so I guess we'll go on to the specific photos that I chose to go over. Is there anything you wanted to add about your photography in general before we do that?
The photography does reflect who I am, whatever that is, and its quirkiness, and its, I want to be, when I take a picture, somehow it should be a pre-rational choice. It isn't always, but it should be.
Okay, so we'll start by going over this photo essay you created called Relationships, and just kind of explain if there's any memorable experience you had taking the photo, why you put it in, why you selected it, and photographic type things. Like, did you do anything special to the photo to create the way it looks?
Okay.
And just kind of anything that kind of brings to mind.
When I lived in Wailene in Anchorage, I had a dark room, and I would do a lot of printing. I remember I would smoke a pipe of tobacco, and I was drinking there, and so I'd be drinking wine, and I'd print. I'd print for hours and have stacks of prints. The photos in Relationship were from prints that I really liked, and I had gone through and selected my all-star prints, and then I had shared some of them. And so some are from Hatcher Pass, some are from Bird Point, and some are here. And later, there's other ones that came later, but these are scans of prints that I took. And they're prints that I really liked. That's...
Okay. And so this is the first one called Relationships 01.
Yeah. And the Relationships was I took the pictures, a lot of them are at the Palmer Fair. In fact, a lot of them, not all of them, but many of them, and that the idea of relationships came as I looked at my selected picture. It wasn't the intention, it was upon reflection. Okay, so this is a picture of me at Wailene at the front door, and I think it was with a twin lens reflex because I was taking it from my belly. And you could see my long hair and sort of a wool hat. And a lot of the pictures, I just see something and it's cool and I take a picture of it. And I have inserted in quite a few of my websites and other places a picture of myself. But this was the one that started that inspiration. And it's just a reflection off the screen door and the front door of Wailene when I was standing there. And I took it because it was cool.
How does it express relationships?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I don't think that explicitly does. I just put that in sort of as my figurehead, as sort of like the picture of the photographer. I mean, I could BS, but...
Did you want to move to the second one?
Okay.
So this is Relationship 02?
This was at the Seattle Center, and I was just walking around taking pictures, and intuitively, I've done this a lot, I just look up, see something, and click and shoot and move on, and I just saw it. I didn't see the boy with the baseball bat until I looked at the prints. A lot of times, I don't see the photo until I look at the digital or the print or the negative later. I respond to something and take a picture. But then maybe all of it doesn't become clear until I can reflect upon it because you're responding too quickly. And sometimes you see things that you didn't even know was there. So in a way, the creative act, yes, it's taking the picture, but the real creative act is looking and choosing after the picture. Because you couldn't have seen all those things all at once. And then the idea of boy and fight and man and masculinity and all that craziness is in there.
Okay, so we're moving on to Relationship 03.
This was in Seattle, downtown Seattle, and I was just wandering around. That's a picture of love. I mean, look at their hands, look at their posture. That they really rely and care about each other. And I often look at that picture and feel respect and that it's just two people that really love each other. And they're working people, everyday people. It's just people who really look at their hands.
So this is the fourth picture, moving on to the fourth.
This is sort of a discovery again, wandering around probably in the same day as that other one. And I just see something, the coats that characterizes Seattle, the raincoats, the man in that weird posture. I don't know if I actually saw that when I took the picture or not, you know. But I definitely saw the pattern and shape of the coats. But the man and his posture, it's almost like he's prey. You know, it's... And again, it's obviously about relationship, and you wonder if the women, I mean, who knows what's going on? I don't think any of that is real. I think that the structure of the photo makes a relationship where there isn't really a relationship. And that guy was probably not looking that way. It was just how he was moving. That's one of the wonders of photography, is that a photograph has meaning separate from what's in it.
So moving on to relationship. 04 or 05, I mean.
This is at the Palmer Fair, and there's another picture of this girl and its mother, and it just, her precarious position, her look, the sort of like two separate worlds, and almost a fear, and the woman isn't paying attention, and there's just a lot of power in that picture and that relationship, and sort of how sometimes kids are. You know, that kid needs to be held, not precariously at the edge of that thing where they could tip over.
So we're moving on to relationship 06.
And this is at the Seattle Aquarium, and it's where the feeling pond, and this girl is feeling things, but her expression is so deep, it's so ambiguous, like curiosity or fear. She's lost in thought. You know, it's sort of like, how would I say? It's almost like it's a slow bomb that if you look at it, you sort of like, what's going on? You know, like, what is she thinking? What is she feeling? Okay,
so relationship 07?
This is at the Palmer Fair, and it's just funny. It's just masculinity, the guy with the hammer. Hitting, it was one of those things where you hit it and it goes up and bongs, the way people are looking at it. There's another picture where there's a couple girls looking at it, this whole process too, which is another dynamic. But it's just sort of about boys and men. And again, I'm just responding. This would be 08. That's in Seattle. That's where the Bon Marché used to be, and it's a window display, a cowboy mannequin and a hobby horse, and sort of you can see a reflection of the parking garage in the back. And it's about the role of masculinity or the pose of masculinity. Relationship 09. This was at the Palmer Fair, and the look of that girl as she's looking at that horse is just fascinating. And then the woman holding the horse, and the woman with the sculptured hair in the back. But what really captures me is the eyes of the girl looking at the horse, that there's a whole meaning there that's more than just, oh, that's a horse. There's some attraction there.
So relationship 10?
This is related to that other photo of the girl, and where she's holding her ears like something's, some noise is bothering her, and the woman is still ignoring her. And so she's sitting in that precarious position, holding her ears with her face painted. And so it's like two separate worlds, but she needs a mother. The fear and anxiety of youth, which I can relate to, is somewhat shown in there. And also the loneliness somewhat of youth, that you're fighting a separate battle from being with your parents or being with other people. I mean, that's what I see. I think that's there more than just me, too. Okay, relationship 11. This was at the Palmer Fair. A woman or a girl getting her face painted, and the face painter sort of looking like a sort of has-been Elvis looking off in the distance, and she's looking up. And about women's roles and relationships, and the picture in the back of a woman being painted. One of those people in there I can recognize. She was a friend that I was actually walking with when I took the picture. But it's really, what's the role of a woman? What's real? What isn't? What is a face painting? Is that like makeup? All that stuff is in there resonating, not in any conclusion, just sort of like vibrating. Okay, this is relationship 12. This is at the Palmer Fair, and a man pointing at himself, and men do that a lot. And I like to capture those things. The lack of subtlety of men sometimes is just so amazing. Anyway, relationship 13. This is at the fair, and a man in a cowboy hat and a little boy on a horse on a carousel. And I assume it's a father and a son, and you just think about what's going to happen, what's happened, how he is, his costume, what the boy or the child will be, what will happen with them. Will that role be one that will be imposed? And it relates also to the hobby horse and some of the other things here, but also that the somebody that hasn't evolved that personality with somebody who has, what will happen to them? I mean, that's what I see, but those are, you just look at the photo and you feel it, and then those are ideas that come. Okay, relationship 14. This is down at the waterfront in Seattle. I assume that they're a mother and daughter or some relationship, and I don't want to be cruel, and sometimes I take pictures I don't want to share, but it's clearly a relationship, and clearly the values of the older as opposed upon the younger. And it just, it is a real relationship. And that a relationship isn't entirely positive. Okay. Relationship 15. It's my stepdad and mother. I think they picked me up and we were driving. And you could see the quality of their relationship sometimes. It was somewhat stressful. And there's a lot of feeling in that. And sometimes I was even ashamed of showing that just because of the intensity of the emotion. But it was a true, honest expression of their relationships at some points in time. I think that power transcends to other people without knowing that they're my mother and stepdad. My stepdad was very important to me, very different from me, but that's them. Relationship 16. This was on a ferry boat from Port Angeles to Victoria, and I just took it, and the little boy, and again in a precarious position with the parent going to take a, or father going to take a picture, but that's not a good place for a little boy to be. I mean, you could see him falling on his head, and yet there's just the fatherhood, the relationship, the lack of safety of that position, and the rope, just the pattern of the rope. So again, that sort of that sense of the anxiety and the vulnerability of youth, and maybe the lack of care of parents. Okay, relationship 17. I took a Gray Line tour from Seattle to Mount Rainier, and it went to Auburn where I grew up. And as we got off the bus, we'd go and stop at these different places. I just saw this and took the picture of it. And it's just so amazing, the sexual stereotypes, the men in white before the mountain, the wives taking pictures of it, the similar dress between them. It's just such a, it's a completely spontaneous picture, but It just, there's so many, again, roles. Why are the men being in front of the mountain and not the women? Why the similarity of dress? All sorts of stuff is going on in that picture. But I just, like, did I see all that when I took the picture? I don't know. That was a long time ago. I just took it. But I saw it when I saw the picture. You know, this is at the Palmer State Fair at the a rodeo that was there. And I actually entered this in a photo show in Anchorage at one time. It wasn't selected. But the woman in the right at the fence, and her face almost looks like she's crying or something like that. I don't know what. And then the other woman that with the cigarette looking back and her blonde hair. There's more pictures of her also. The cowboy hat. There's just a lot of emotion in that feeling. And again, sort of the way people make themselves into artifacts or stereotypes or roles that might be separate than who they are originally, or are, if they didn't feel that they had to be those roles, especially the woman smoking the cigarette.
And so this is relationship 18?
Yes.
And we're going to move on to 19?
This is similar to where the little boy was sitting on the capstan on the ferry. This was the ferry from Port Angeles to Victoria. Just that man and the weight of the world on his shoulders. I mean, you just, you almost want to comfort him. You know, that there's just, to me, it's like a genuine sense of sadness or weight or responsibility in his shoulders. And that's not a role, that's a real person. You know, that's what I, you know, a person that you hope gets some from relief from what is on his shoulders.
So relationship 20?
Relationship, this is at the Palmer Fair, and there's a lot here. There's the little child and her face, the mother, I assume the mother in the white shorts, the attractive women, the little child, again, that little child who's lost in an anxiety. You know, look at that face, and then, and being held by the stuffed bear, or the, and I guess it, and that would be true, but a lot of the specific pictures you've chosen really reflect upon how I view childhood, and perhaps also reflect how I viewed my childhood.
Well, you chose these ones.
Yeah. But of all the new, more current ones, but at this point in time when I shared them. Yeah. So, I think, oh, there's more. Okay.
Yes.
Relationship 21, downtown Seattle. And just people passing, but the look of the man in the raincoat and his look and his stare, it really captures the feeling of Seattle, but also a little bit of threat, a little bit of anxiety again. And more I appreciate pictures that aren't necessarily in focus because they might accentuate the actual experience that we see. Because I'm trying in many ways to express things the way I experience them. And sometimes it enhances it. So I don't just, if something's not perfect and isn't sharp, I don't necessarily throw it away. Sometimes I'm excited about it. Is it intentional? Probably not, but it's when I look at the negative or look at the print or look at the digital image, then I see the picture. So you take the picture and then you see the picture. But again, there's a sense of anxiety there. This is at the Palmer Fair, and I took a lot of pictures of this, the cobra and the cougar, and there was a band up in front, and so I was sitting in the grass, and just sort of maybe that in people's lives and in events and everything else, there's a little bit more going on than on the surface.
And so this is relationship 22.
Okay. Yes, it is. And next one will become relationship 23. This was at Merrill Field at an air show. And again, it's a couple, clearly a couple, stripes, similar body shape. They clearly are influencing each other. And they're clearly together. The posture, he might even be a weightlifter, you know, just how big he is and stuff like that. But it was just, it resonates with me, just seeing those two people, that there's something going on about how two people's relationship changes them. Okay, this would be relationship 24. Palmer Fair, couple looking at a velvet painting. There's more from that series too. The velvet painting, or the velvet rug, not a painting. That picture is pretty weird, of that woman, you know, just. And yet, the couple really does seem to have some affinity together, you know. They're not negatively influencing each other, and they both are sharing that experience. But okay, relationship 25, Palmer Fair, somebody being dunked in the water. And there's something going on here that you'll see in a lot of my photos, is a hand on the right. Things in the edge and coming in from the edge, I like. I don't know. It captures some of the feeling of what a photograph is. And there's many times where the edge is important, but this is the whole idea of, why do you throw things and dunk them in the water, and just the posture and the people's hair. But this one is also the tonal value, the arc building in the back, the Quonset hut kind of thing, the hand, the shadowy glass, I guess, behind where the person that's going to be dunked is, the two white balls. You know, it's just a cool picture, but the hand is what makes it for me. The hand makes you look into the picture. So that's a compositional question, or a response. I mean, I like the image, but I really like the hand. Relationship 26. This was at the Diamond Center. This store is still there. And two mothers and two daughters, and the wig store, and the different hairstyles. And again, the idea of wigs, the young daughters, that are they going to end up wanting wigs and wearing wigs and following in their mother's footsteps? How do we take on these roles that, where we're alienated from ourselves? That's, okay. Relationship 27. I believe this is in Minneapolis or Minnesota, and again, it's wig store, and then with photos of people, almost like portraits with wigs. And again, that whole resonance of roles and stereotypes and what we put on ourselves to become what our society expects of us. But I also just like the composition, like of the mannequin and back staring the other way. You know, when I look at this, my eye goes many places, and it stays within the image, but it moves things and it discovers things. And that's a characteristic of a good photo, is that you look at it and see it, and that you can look at it many ways and see it in many ways.
Is there any type of technique you use to achieve that if the photo's not perfect?
Just look. Now there's some ability to accentuate the dark or the light in specific areas. In the darkroom days, you could burn and you could hold back, and you could do test strips for different exposures to emphasize different things. But in the darkroom days, it's just getting the right exposure. What I want, and I don't always achieve, is some texture in the highlights, some substance in the shadow, and some tonal value in between. I sometimes I don't accomplish that, or sometimes I ignore that, but that would be sort of the standard I look at, is substance, shadow, texture, and highlight, and a long tonal value.
So beyond the exposure, do you heavily use any other techniques to get to
show? No, I don't use any tricks or anything. I mean, digital now, yeah, but it's not like, it's not separating from the validity of the image. It's not making the image different than what it is.
So you never remove anything?
A dust spot and stuff like that. There's one in Tacoma there of the old city hall, which now actually is having real problems because the sprinkler system broke. I removed a sprinkler from the ceiling, a sprinkler thing, because it really, when I look at a picture, where does my eye go? If it hangs up on something, then where I don't see the picture, instead I stop at something. Sometimes, I must confess, I'll remove it, but it's not a fundamental thing. And I'll also, by cropping, I crop so that that goal that I have is that when you look at the picture, you move around the picture, and you see many different things, and that your eye doesn't get stuck someplace. That's the thing I don't want. I don't want your eye to get stuck. The classic example is in the old days, if you had a piece of dust in a print, you'd see the piece of dust, not the print. But there's other things that will do that to you. So I will do everything I can to remove the thing that makes your eye stick. And that's not a intellectual process, that's just letting your eye move around and see what happens.
Okay, so this is the last image of the essay.
Okay.
And so just to radiate the time period that most of these were taken?
Middle 70s.
Okay. And so now we'll move on to photos I selected from your different websites. I'll just start from the beginning. I'll introduce them. This is Anchorage in the 70s, I assume.
Yeah. Fur Rondi. And I wish they had that again. That was the weirdest display. They had built this ice maze, and they had frozen salmon and polar bear and all sorts of amazing things on it. And when I took the pictures and developed them, there was marks on it. So when I scanned them, I had a chance to get rid of the real mess and retrieve these. So the polar bear up in the right, the person, I mean, it's just, it's all there. And something, again, a lot of my photos now and every, is there's a relationship between like the woman in the fur hat where she's looking, the photographer, the polar bear, so that if you follow people's eyes and you follow where people looking, it leads you throughout the picture. But there probably was no relationship between any of those people. Just, but it has that attribute of you keep looking at it.
Do you know what the man is taking a photo of?
No. I mean, I can guess. No, not really. Maybe me.
So, you go to next.
Okay. Yeah.